and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Prus. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And today, we're back to politics already. That's right. I have in the studio with me a gentleman running for governor. He's been here before. In fact, he opened his campaign on this show. Matt Halala, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing fabulous and so honored that you'd invite me back. That says a lot.
Did I have a choice?
I think you did. If I know the Prus family, you had a choice.
Not when your wife called and said, you're doing it.
Yeah.
You brought in the heavy. How's she doing?
She's doing great, helping out with the grandkids and my parents, their great grandparents in Phoenix right now for a couple of weeks. So sadly, she wasn't able to attend and accompany me. She's the beautiful side of the half for sure.
Welcome to Fairbanks. How you been doing?
Great. Yeah, I was here almost exactly 3 months ago. And like you said, that was the very beginning of the campaign. And being a non-politician outsider in this process, I've learned a lot in the last 2.5 months about my message and the importance of focus. I felt like the leopard looking at the herd of the impala and just running toward the herd because there's so much to talk about our wonderful state. But I've got a fire in my heart for a focused constituency, and that's the next generation. So that's something I'm really focusing on and having a passion for in my talking points.
Good for you. What's your schedule like up here in Fairbanks?
Well, after this, we've got the Central Republican meeting, Interior, that we're going to attend and observe anyway, back at the Westmark. And then we're going to have a meet and greet at one of the local establishments, which will be a lot of fun. And then tomorrow we have HIPOW, the Monroe High.
ICS Catholic Schools,
Yep. So I've been a part of those in Anchorage with St. Elizabeth's and Lumen Christi for many years. And we were all a little jealous about the long-established tradition of Monroe up here, and that we couldn't quite make it happen. Now the pandemic did that for private schools and Catholic schools in Anchorage. They are now thriving because they were offering something a little different than what the public schools were not offering at the time.
Exactly. Yep. That's it's been a few months. We went through, we've been through a few items, but let's reintroduce you. What's your background?
Well,
it's a good, varied background that a good candidate for governor should have.
Right. So I was born in Anchorage in 1969, and our family was in North Kenai at the time. But at 5 months pregnant, my mother, being 29, had a ruptured brain aneurysm.
Oh, boy.
And she was emergently flown to Providence. And she was instructed by three physicians, not advised, that she had to terminate the pregnancy. She would not live. And when she said she was not going to do that at 5 months pregnant, they told her, you have three other children that are relying on you. You're being selfish. And that's pretty heavy come in the 1960s from three physicians.
Yeah.
And she held strong and here I am. So I owe a lot to
Boy,
that.
Are you a special born child?
Yeah. So I owe a lot to the courage of my parents. And there's a lot more to that story, what they were facing. So anyway, after that, a few years in Nikiski, then Kenai, primarily grew up in Soldotna, met my future wife in junior high, Stacy, and we got married shortly after graduation from Soldotna High School in 1988. My working career began as a commercial fisherman in Cook Inlet. I was a beachside fisherman from the time I was 9 or 10 under the hard-charging style of my father. Not a lot of loving accolades as you're learning. It's more like, why did you do something so dumb? But in a loving manner that cultivated responsibility, accountability, and the importance of hard work. When I was 14, ended up in Bristol Bay. My family moved the fishing operation over there, and I became the skipper of my dad's operation by the time I was 18, and I had two high school classmates as my deckhands. And we had the youngest crew in Bristol Bay. That was another lesson by fire. When I was 18, my parents said, hey, can you run the operation by yourself? Your dad really doesn't want to go over there this year. So I'm like, okay. That was the year they came through Bristol, the boatyards, and said, we are enforcing the 32-foot limit on the boat. And they made us chop 11 inches off the bow of our boat. And I was in charge of that. I'm like, Dad, how do I cut the bow off the boat and still have it float? So anyway, that was a funny long story. But in the meantime, so I did that until I was 25 in the summers. Stacy and I had gotten married at 19 and 20, went off to medical school in Chicago, and for 4 years had our first child, our daughter, and then moved to Washington, D.C. and did my residency at Georgetown University and Fairfax Hospital for 3 years out there, had another child, and moved back to Alaska in 1998. And from that point in 98, I started a practice that grew fairly large for a foot and ankle surgical practice. I had five other associate surgeons. I was the owner operator. Got involved under the guidance of David McGuire, a wonderful arthroscopic knee surgeon, was my mentor in a lot of things, politics, business, residential and commercial real estate. So I got involved in a lot of things, and he actually had me in operating rooms and boardrooms for 30 years. And that was very instructive about, you don't make promises, you actually have to accomplish something. Promises don't work out in the wild. You have to perform and execute. So that's what I did. I just retired last year. 5 years ago, I got an executive MBA. That another thing, I was being mentored by some other people advising that, you know, I know you're good at business. A lot of people ask you for advice in business, but I knew I really didn't understand the terminology in the boardroom. Mm-hmm. The opponents always had their MBAs from Harvard speaking opportunity cost and net present value analysis and all that, and I didn't really understand what that was. So I went and got an executive MBA. That was very confidence building. So that was 5 years ago, just retired. I've been involved with politics in the background as a supporter of good candidates, like, you know, Ted Stevens, Don Young, Nick Begich, Dan Sullivan, etc. And David McGuire said, Matt, we expect you to go to these fundraisers and be supportive, because if you don't, others will, and you might not like the outcome.
Matt Halala, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be back after these messages. Hold on here.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Fairbanks Children's Museum, providing a rich environment that stimulates children's natural curiosity and creativity, with trained educators developing play-based learning programs and experiences for kids to explore multi-sensory, hands-on, active, and child-centered activities. The Fairbanks Children's Museum, committed to being a valuable and accessible resource for all families in the interior, inspiring and connecting families through discovery and the power of play. For more information, go to fairbankschildrensmuseum.com.
Getting a little personal here, but true story. So I hurt my knee, and a friend says, go see Dr. Kim Driftmeyer at McKinley Orthopedics. So glad I did. Turns out I needed surgery. Dr. Driftmeyer and his team took great care of everything right here in Fairbanks. MRI, physical therapy, surgery, all in one place. Easy, efficient, honestly, kind of pleasant. Oh, and did you know he's also an outstanding spine surgeon? Sports injury, broken bones, or just need a tune-up? Go see Dr. Kim Driftmeyer. McKinley Orthopedics. Trusted care, local team, real results.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, and your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereeden, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with a chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 39. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows dip down to about 28. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 39. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Not
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have in the studio here with me Matt Halala. He's running for governor. Let's recap your life experiences again growing up. You're lucky to be alive because...
I am.
Because your mom was basically bedridden for the last 4 months of your...
Correct.
And so here you are.
Yep. Sometimes the experts don't always know, and that's important to be able to speak up and ask questions and sometimes disagree with experts. That's critically important.
Why did you choose to run for governor?
Well, I feel compelled to be a little bit of a different choice for the electorate, a non-politician with an extensive background, deep roots as an Alaskan, raising my kids here, my grandkids, business background, healthcare, commercial fisheries. And I've put a lot of effort into educating myself on a lot of topics for our state that are critically important. And I've learned throughout the years being presiding, you know, within boards and commissions. I've done a lot of that work, mm-hmm. a lot of volunteer, you know, state medical board, DHHS commission, that we need, I think, more people that have deep experience in business as an Alaskan, a passion for the betterment of our state, to get more involved. There's a perception that there's this huge, wide and deep chasm that is jumping from the private sector into politics. It's so funny, the squinchy faces I saw in my friends. You're running? What are you doing? What do you mean?
Why?
That's not who we know. I mean, yeah, sure, Matt, you know a lot of stuff and you're really actively engaged in the topics, but why would you jump across that chasm or over that wall where we're not supposed to invade somehow?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I think there's an, when I've gotten to know a lot of politicians throughout the years, and I've got to know them as friends, some of our higher level politicians here in Alaska, and I'm starting to understand that there's no pixie dust there. They're a little more practiced at talking points. They're a little more practiced at appearances and the performance art we all call politics, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm not finding that they intrinsically have, you know, a stronger heart towards Alaska, a better ability to negotiate things, more value in a boardroom. As a matter of fact, I'm finding a lot of the time they have less of a value there.
The state of Alaska spends in its budget the most money in health and social services. You have a background in that.
Right.
What's your thoughts on how that whole economic commission is set up and operates?
Right. It is a tangled web. And a part of my executive MBA was an emphasis in the business of healthcare and where Obamacare went wrong. It didn't reduce premiums, it raised premiums.
Oh, you're telling me, really?
Yeah. And, you know, the win, Dan Sullivan said this down in Juneau. He said the win is not how many more people we get covered by Medicaid. It's that we get industry booming again so that people have an opportunity to get gainfully employed and get insured within the private insurance pool again. And one of the things that happened was with Medicaid expansion, it sounded good at the time because the feds were going to cover most all of it. That was Walker's argument. Mm-hmm. And I knew at the time this was going to entrench Obamacare, make it more difficult to reverse course. And what that did was it pulled away about 5 or 8% of the population out of the insurance pool because there was no such thing as catastrophic coverage anymore, like we all got when we were 22, mm-hmm. you know, for $100 a month or yeah. whatever. That was made illegal by Obamacare. Then you have something called adverse selection, moral hazard, and crowd out. These are academic terms, but they're the most extensive studies showed how that Medicaid expansion was harmful to private insurance pools, and that's where the rest of us live. We also had the highest failure rate in applications for Medicaid when young adults and otherwise put in an application to apply for Medicaid. 60% of those applicants between 23 and 24 actually did not meet criteria but were approved. The highest failure rate for applicants in the country by far. I think New Jersey was number two at like 18% failure rate. It's called the error rate, not failure rate, sorry. Mm-hmm. But that's a problem. So 60% of applicants were just approved and they didn't meet criteria. And now the federal government says, we're fining your state. It was either $40 or $60 million because of this lack
I failed
of scrutiny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to clean that up. I think the big thing is it's going to be easier to focus on expanding our economy, opening up the state as we are, as this administration right now has teed up for us and the current delegation, this deregulatory environment, all just to get us going again and provide high-paid jobs for people to then have compensation packages that include insurance, just like the old days. So that's the focus. And then you slowly get people off of Medicaid.
Back in the pool.
Back in the pool, reducing everyone's premiums. So that's the big goal.
It's not an overnight fix.
No, it's not. It's not. And you can't pull the rug out from under people that are relying on Medicaid right now, like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You have to phase these things. And I think that's what we learned with Doge and Elon Musk. Elon is just, the king of his companies, went in there thinking, well, we just cut things like right now. Boom, it's over. Well, he was in an interview. It was pretty interesting. He said, you know what? We actually can't really fix government. We have to grow our way out of this, because he discovered doing it the way he was used to doing it would have been civil war, like anarchy in the streets. And I don't think he really understood that. Well, his cars were lit on fire over it.
I know.
Right? So you do have to have a pragmatic approach, but you need to create a vision that our state is not a welfare state, is a work state. My parents came up here in the 50s. I don't know when your parents did, a long time
1950.
Ago. Yeah. And they were explorers looking for work and opportunity. It was that sense of adventure. That goes back to the gold miners.
Mm-hmm.
Just a sense of adventure.
Go west, young man.
And an opportunity to work and build your own life, contribute to your family, your community. And we've lost that a bit. It's all about what are we getting? And how can we maintain the status quo for fear of losing something that I have right now, when in reality it should be a vision for something better? And I think that's the opportunity right now. We have an opportunity right now that we've not seen in decades. And it's incredibly exciting, from energy, which I think is the most important thing, is energy projects.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get cheap, abundant energy that's diversified, industry follows. Just like Iceland. They almost have nothing to offer the world other than cheap energy, hydro and geothermal. And they're a big refiner of aluminum bauxite ore shipped in from North Africa. And it's because they're offering cheap energy. And we have so many opportunities for energy. And these AI centers, I was just listening to Jensen Huang of NVIDIA. These big AI centers that are being built, people call them data centers, et cetera, they are factories whose output is intelligence, which is an interesting way to think of it. They are being housed on 1,000 acres under one roof.
I know.
Is that bizarre? And they're consuming
staggering
a gigawatt of electricity. That is twice the electricity consumption of all of the residents and industry in Alaska for one AI center.
One structure.
And people are like, well, if we do the LNG line, which we have to, I believe is geostrategic, et cetera, well, then why do we want to do Wautauna? Wautauna's only projected to produce about 650 to 700 megawatts. That's 0.7 of what's needed for one AI center. So, if you don't have a big enough vision, you're gonna miss out. And there's no reason why our state, with everything that we have to offer, can't have a larger vision. So.
Hmm. Well, so you bring that. Education. You are well educated. The second largest department in the state of Alaska is education funding.
Right.
And we're at the very bottom of the state of the states in education output.
Right. It's sad. And, you know, Stacy and I are products of the public school system of the 70s and 80s, which was a different animal back then. I don't remember any of these extraneous, bizarre political things in the classroom, really. I don't remember
any
of that stuff.
There was respect in the classroom to the teacher.
Yeah, and it was the basics, and, you know, you got out of it what you put into it. There was very little distraction other than sports and girls. You know,
those are big distractions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, the social life.
You met your wife in junior high.
You know what? That was a big deal. But so we have an obligation to educate our kids. We absolutely do. And it needs to be adequately funded. But I do believe in the primacy of parents and families to decide what kind of an environment they want their kids in. And I think over the last 5 or 8 years with some of this, I call it sectarian stuff, like wokeology and all the different things entering into our public school systems. There were concerns, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back for a lot of families. You know, in the Matsu Valley, it's 1 out of 3 families have walked away from the public school system.
Oh, I believe it, yeah.
Which is not a nice prospect for people that work within the public school system and teachers that want to do good work. And obviously most of our public education servants want the best for the kids. And you know, I think it's a disruptive time in education with all this AI stuff. Alpha Schools in Austin, where it's an AI educational platform. They're testing in the top 3% of the nation. There's a lot of opportunity there. I've been listening to some recent interviews about the application of AI. And I think as long as our public schools can continue advancing and making good use of technology and getting back to the basics, it's going to get more public support again. But the funding of schools, again, you got to have a booming economy, you know, whether it be healthcare opportunities, education, what have you. It all solved in general. The money thing is solved with a booming economy. To not hesitate on these big projects that are teed up right now.
You know, it's interesting how I'd say about 15 years ago, the decline didn't start happening of education, but they put in the basis for the decline to happen. They started looking at public policy in the classroom versus education in the classroom.
Right.
And that had the parents pull out students.
Exactly.
And you look at education funding, it's all about the base student allocation.
Right.
And that's where they lost. They started to decline. Then you had the bathroom, you know, can a guy go into a girl's bathroom?
Oh. All that extraneous stuff. Yeah. That's just absurd. It's all absurd.
Emily, my girlfriend, was telling me last night, she's from Maine, and how this Maine school board was indoctrinated on stupidity because they had all these parents come in and start stripping in front of them, you know, males, and changing clothes. And so this is what you're subjecting our kids to.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. No, I think I saw that.
Yeah.
Reference to that. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You know,
of all the things to be preoccupied with when it's just so absurd to 90% of the population.
95.
Yeah. It's like, okay, why are we having these conversations? It's you know what it is? It's lack of leadership and courage at the top to say, no.
That's stupid.
Done. We're not talking about that today.
Yeah. Fairbanks, we're going to take a break here. I have to torture you with the elevator music of Madonna.
Ooh.
Oh, I hope you come back. I'll talk with upper management about this torture music that we're going to give you.
That's a long apology there.
And then I'm in a purple padded room with Madonna music. Yeah. Oh my God! Well, here we go. I'm going to need Dr. Phil. Ah, Dr. Halala after this. We will be back.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live.
Fox News, I'm John Zossier. A ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is now in effect, a potential end to a war that's been going on for more than 2 years. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, hosting Qatar's defense minister of the Pentagon, expressed gratitude for that country's support in the Middle East.
The way you support our troops at Al Udeid, Your Excellency, the line of communication we've had together, which has been robust, ever since the beginning of this administration, and then especially since the events that have transpired over the last month.
Protests continue against an ICE facility in the Chicago suburb of Broadview as a federal judge blocks the president's effort to deploy National Guard troops to Chicago. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker calls it a victory for the rule of law.
We've always said that we have to rely on the judiciary to be the check and balance on what the president and the Congress are trying to do, or sometimes failing to do.
The Trump administration is expected to appeal. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The USDA has allocated $300 million to keep Alaska's Women, Infants, and Children program, known as WIC, running through October during the government shutdown. Senator Lisa Murkowski's office confirmed to Alaska's news source Thursday. Senator Murkowski was relieved that the USDA has found the funding to ensure WIC participants will continue to receive benefits through the end of October should the government shutdown persist. Murkowski spokesperson Joel Plesha said Thursday, "While our office is still awaiting details about how the funding will be implemented and whether this transfer of funds will at all impact school or child care nutrition programs, this program is too vital to lapse." She is pleased that a temporary solution to this specific problem has been reached to allow time for negotiations to continue. As of today, Alaska WIC remains fully operational, according to the program's website, which includes an alert reading, "Alaska WIC clinics are open for business as usual, and you may continue to shop for your WIC foods."
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, and your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Frontier Outfitters. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
This time of year, nobody wants to talk about winter, but it's always good to be prepared. Like with the trees in your yard. Some of them might be leaning a bit, and they could take out a power line, hit a car, or worse, your house. So take care of it now with the professionals at the Great Alaska Tree Company. They can take down troubled trees, cut them up, and haul them away. That's what Great Alaska Tree Company does. Licensed, bonded, insured. So be prepared with the Great Alaska Tree Company.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Call me for a free estimate for your year-round and emergency service at 978-4702.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I only indoctrinated you with 32 seconds of Madonna. You should be thankful towards me. But if you had to suffer through it, so did I. Mm-hmm. So Matt lived.
I
Dr.
did.
Dr. Halala, yep. Thank you for taking me out of the breach.
Yeah. Good old 80s music, although she's made a desperate attempt to come back recently, which
it's kind of scary. I never liked her in the first place. So.
Yeah. As a teenager at the time, I kind of liked her first album a little bit, but then it wore a little weird when she got into her weird phases and things, so that was the end of it.
True. You know, they're looking at a natural gas line. Your thoughts?
Right. It's different this time. We're more hopeful. It is now geopolitically critical to our allies that they have a reliable and abundant source of energy. Asia, it's interesting. I was reading that Russia sells 50% of their LNG supply to the EU, the European Union, who is in essence at war, kind of vis-a-vis Ukraine, and they're buying 50% of Russia's LNG supply, and it's nearly 20 metric tons of LNG. Our LNG project is hopefully going to produce at least that same amount, and we don't want to have our allies feeling like they need to turn to adversaries for their energy. And I think that was the big big lesson we learned with the invasion of Ukraine. So it's critically important. Alaska is positioned perfectly for this. We have such abundant natural gas. We've got the project already engineered, virtually permitted. We've got the right-of-way now to the state. All these things, the stars have aligned. We have an administration that desperately wants to make this happen. And it's a boon for Alaska. It's going to be jobs. In speaking with the governor, he believes it will contribute to prosperity for Alaska for 60 years in many ways. Mm-hmm. All the spinoffs, the cheaper source of energy for the interior, huge deal.
They only thought that the oil pipeline would be going 25 to 30 years. And here, you know, it started in 1977, and that's almost 50 years later.
Exactly. Amazing. And that spur line to this area would be critical. I mean, Fairbanks and the interior needs a diversified source of abundant energy. That's what's killing. My understanding in speaking with people is that the cost of energy is such a burden that it's thwarting a lot of potential industry and business in the interior. So I think that's a critical piece to this, is that spur line is included in that project.
Yeah.
I would be a huge advocate for that.
Good. You know, and President Trump just came out with clearing the path to build the Ambler Road. It's been a controversial, for whatever reason, for 15, 20 years. And it just seems like every time Alaska wants to invest in the economic infrastructure with a road or a project, you have a fight against the environmentalists.
Right. Yeah, that's a frustration. It's turned our state into a no state, and a state that sure does not look like it's open for business to industry, right? And we have to recognize industry is a partner. Work is an opportunity for all Alaskans, for all of the above. And this Ambler Road in the Ambler Mining District, as Doug Burgum articulated perfectly in this last week with all these big moves the administration has made, it's so critical. And this morning we understand that China is going to start pinching down on these rare earth and critical minerals that we have, virtually all of them, or 49 out of 50. I guess they just added another one that I can't pronounce. Now there's 51 rare earth critical minerals. I think they added copper, interestingly, but because there's this copper cliff that they anticipate with all this technology occurring, where the current supply is okay, but very shortly it'll be a cliff and there'll be nothing available. So the Ambler Road thing is a huge deal. They were talking about tungsten is in every munition in the military. It's in almost all tech applications, and that's what we apparently almost exclusively get out of China. And many of these things, and that is, again, it's national security. And I find it very interesting to make these projects happen because it's so in our vital national interest that they created a new Office of Strategic Capital in 2022 from my research. And they're the ones taking equity ownership within MP Materials, Trilogy Metals, and Intel, all these strategically important to our nation. So that for a lot of us, capitalist, you know, free market, we're a little nervous about the government getting involved, but I think when the survival and the sustainability of a nation is at stake to make these things happen and get them off the ground and get them running, I think it's a very reasonable approach. Otherwise, I would not, I'm like, what are we, Venezuela or something? We're making things happen to secure our nation's future.
Where's your home base out of now?
When
you go home tonight, where do you sleep?
Big Lake is probably 70% of the time. The other 30% of the time is Anchorage. We have a condo in Anchorage.
Okay.
So with the kids leaving the house 10 years ago, et cetera, we downsized from the house on the hillside and got a condo right on the park strip. And so we're back and forth between Big Lake and Anchorage. But my formal address is still Anchorage because of my practice for 30 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
The homelessness in Anchorage. I look at that and I just say to myself, it's self-produced there
right.
by what they allow.
Right. You know, most misery in all of our lives is self-induced, right?
Yeah.
And in
poor decisions along the way.
It is, and it's this. You know, one of my favorite authors, Gad Saad. He's a Lebanese-born Jewish professor of behavioral sciences, I believe in Toronto. And he's publishing a book that'll come out in the next month called Suicidal Empathy.
Oh.
Where you're veiling poor decisions in that you're empathetic and care for people.
Mm-hmm.
But when in reality, you're not helping those people and you're hurting yourself to the point of a suicide of your culture. And he speaks mostly about the immigration flood in Europe. And I think that empathy that's not empathetic, it's not compassionate, has led to people not being bold and taking action with the homeless situation. And I think it's heartbreaking to see what's happening to those that are vulnerable out there, the abuse, the attack, the drug addiction, the suicide, the death. And I think that there's a lot of ideas. People need to have courage and act on it and start, you know, incarcerating those that are the criminals, triaging those that have mental illness. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of them, the addicted, properly into shelters with medical care, et cetera. But, you know, I actually interviewed, you know, an informal curbside interview of an APD officer in Anchorage where this young lady was interfering with some rugby games. She had her top off and she was, you know, making a scene. They called her, sat her in the squad car, and then about 15 minutes later, she was out of the squad car. And I said, what, you know, from your perspective as an APD officer, and he had been with the force for 35 years, he said, you know what, when we close down our mental hospitals, we have no alternative. He said, we will take in somebody that's making, you know, sleeping on park benches, and have them sign a form that says that they understand they have to present in court in 30 days. They sign it, and then they release them over and over and over again. He said, do you think they ever show up in court for their hearing? No. And he says, our hands are tied. We can't do anything. So that's, I don't understand that. And we're seeing now in the violent cities, of course, Anchorage is a pretty violent city, where the National Guard is being employed, of course. Mm-hmm. And the locals are saying thank you. Yeah. The activists aren't. They're making a big fuss over it. But that's not empathetic. It's an abuse. So I think that there's a lot that can be done and needs to be done there.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Matt Halala, a gubernatorial candidate, in the studio with me here. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Give it to me straight, Doc. I can handle it. Are you going to have to remove the whole thing?
Actually, I'll have your broken window fixed in no time. At Glass Doctor, we can handle it all, even custom glass.
Oh, thanks, Doc. You're a real lifesaver.
The doctor is in. Glass Doctor is on call for fast, full-service residential glass repair, replacement, and installation. Visit glassdoctor.com to make an appointment.
Call the Glass Doctor. We fix your panes. Oh, yeah.
A neighborly company.
It's officially fall and time again for the radio station's third annual Tour of Boutiques, Saturday, October 11th, featuring many of Fairbanks' favorite boutiques and shops. Audrey's Women's Wear, Roaming Root Cellar, Lycan, In My Element, Terry's Vintage Boutique, The Peony Patch Uprooted, and Northern Sparrow Boutique, each with their own sales, specials, and more. So grab your crew and hit the streets. Make sure to grab your passport from any location, get it stamped at each, and then turn it in at your final stop for your chance to win $500 in cash. Plus additional prizes. It's the radio station's third annual Tour of Boutiques, Saturday, October 11th, and going all day long, giving you plenty of time to hit them all and fill that passport for your chance to win big. So we'll see you Saturday, October 11th, for the third annual radio station Tour of Boutiques. Oh, hey, that looks really good on you.
RSF and the Woodway are proud to present the Keystone Alaska Wood Fireplace. The Alaska DEC approved Opal Plus Keystone Alaska is the result of fine craftsmanship inspired by versatility and built on more than 30 years of proven performance with high efficiency wood burning fireplace. The Keystone is perfect for adding modern sophistication to your home and practicality for heating spaces over 2,000 square feet with catalytic technology. RSF, built on quality, innovation, and originality. Class with comfort, the Alaskan way, the right way. The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
High temperatures reach up to 39 today under overcast skies with a chance for scattered rain showers. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. 28 tonight, partly cloudy. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 39. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Matt Halala. He's running for governor. He's going to have to leave here in about 5 to 8 minutes because he has another appointment that starts at noon. So we're going to say goodbye to him while we're still rolling.
I'd rather stay. I like the conversation. You're such an inviting conversationalist.
You were talking my about how master. Horrible this purple padded room is.
I love it.
Oh, man. You know, what were they thinking? I don't want to know. They're probably on some acid, you know.
No, it's Barney-ish.
Exactly.
Very inviting, very calming. Yeah, that was my daughter's upbringing in Chicago was Barney, the
really?
Little purple dinosaur. That was a big deal.
It is the Barney room. It is a Barney room. So how do you make a jump from being a skipper at 18 to medical school? I mean, that is not normal, but you are not a normal person, which is great, which is in a good way.
You know, it's funny. My uncle, who was more like an older brother to me, he was hilarious, very smart guy. And he went to podiatric medical school to become a podiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know what? You should do the same thing. You would like this. And I'm like, what? I hate feet. No, I would never do that. And as he introduced me to I got married, of course, quite young.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to get my act together and find a real solid career with an income. And I discovered the commercial fishing thing in Bristol Bay was hit or miss.
Yeah.
It was, I walked away
feast
many
famine,
seasons
yeah.
making $5,000.
Yeah.
You know, profit. That was it. And so I was given early admittance into the medical school in Chicago because I did well enough on my MCAT entrance exam. And my uncle let me in on the secret that if you have at least 3 years of undergrad with the minimal semester credit hours and all the required stuff, the chemistries, that depending upon the applicant pool, you could shave a year off of the process. So here I am, recently married, and I'm like, okay, this is perfect. So that's what I did. And after a year there in Chicago, then I was issued my bachelor's degree, and then 3 years later, the doctorate. So, but that's what it was. And a part of it was I do enjoy interacting with people, and I like problem solving. Feet are a massive challenge. If you don't have success with your foot surgery, I was told people hate you with every step if it doesn't go well. And they don't forget.
Yeah.
They don't forget. And so you have to focus.
That's a good way to look
and
at
study.
It.
Yeah. Some orthopedic surgeons that I trained with are like, I don't ever do foot surgery because if it doesn't go well, they hate you. They hate you. And so, but I loved the idea of specialization early and getting as good as possible at something and having that confidence. So I think that started my exploration and learning, constant learning. That's always been an important thing of, just this desire to learn. And anyway, that was my transition from commercial fishing to medicine, was my uncle.
Tonight you're going to be at the Ken Kunkel?
Yes. Ken Kunkel, 5:30.
Yep.
Yes.
And
meet and greet.
Okay.
Be a lot of fun. Conversational opportunity to meet.
The Goldstream area.
Absolutely.
Or anyone.
Yep.
And who's providing the food? Dick and Joni.
Yes.
from...
Yes, and I'm going to meet them. I've not met them yet.
Fantastic people.
This is through family, friends, and my mm-hmm. manager here, Ryan Sheldon. So I look forward to that introduction.
Yeah, yes. from Ivory Jacks.
Yep.
And appreciate it because Ivory Jacks is transferring ownership as of about the first of the year.
Okay.
And so it's going to be... Dick and Joni, they've been, fixtures out there since they bought that from Jack O'Brien. That's why it's called Ivory Jacks.
Okay.
And, it burnt down about 25 years ago, and they rebuilt it without insurance. They just rebuilt it because they love the community.
Right.
And so.
Nice.
You're going to a good spot.
And they're being so generous. Locals drink free. That's a big draw. From where I come from, that's a big draw.
May I suggest you don't say that over the airs?
Oh.
Because that's an ABC law.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I don't know the details. I probably don't know the details.
Actually, since you're at a meet and greet event that's not with a liquor license, you're fine. It's at the Ken Coco.
And you know what? It might be Pepsi. So, probably is. I had no details on that one.
Well, that bar is quite a bar.
Oh, okay.
But you're not in the bar.
Right.
So that's great. That's great.
Nice. Yes.
Well, hey, it was a good interview. I will see you tomorrow night at High Pow.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, and got to let you go because you got to go over to another location. Yep. It starts at noon. But I really appreciate you coming up here.
Thank you, David. Yeah. You're so gracious, and you're such a congenial interviewer, which I appreciate.
I want you back.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, you guys take care and relax and enjoy. And we'll see you again
soon. We'll be here again. Absolutely. Thank you.
Fairbanks, what are we going to do next? That was fun. It was a cold day this morning, just cold. And, my God, it's getting better. It's getting a little bit better. But, what are we going to do over the weekend now? The Ice Dogs start. Hockey. That's right. It's opening weekend of the Ice Dogs. Is anyone going to be going to the Ice Dogs game tonight or tomorrow? I was invited tonight to go to tonight. We'll see what happens. This afternoon, I'm picking up campaign signs, so getting that out of the way. Just doing all sorts of fun stuff. But you still have a good weekend here to get stuff done out on your deck. Started getting my exterior cleaned up and all that fun stuff and doing that. And what the heck? It's going to be a good weekend here in Fairbanks, even though we're starting to get that cold weather. Now, going towards the end of the month, we have a few items that are going on. We have High Pow tonight at the 31st of October down at City Hall. We're going to do our big trick-or-treat extravaganza again, opening up City Hall for all that fun stuff. So we encourage everyone to bring your kids or grandkids down to City Hall from 3 to 6 on Friday the 31st. Again, all the departments are dressing up, creating different areas of scariness, we'll say, or fun. And it's the big event. You get to be inside for up to 3 hours, depending on how long or how many times you go through the candy operations there, and be in a heated environment with your kids or grandkids and have wonderful displays presented to you, great people giving you lots of candy. I mean, we spend about $2,000 just on candy for this event. And everyone gets about 10 to 20 pieces of candy who walks through those doors, and it's a lot of fun. But also, if you look at what the individual people do, how they dress, and how they do a presentation of their Halloween area, the mayor's office, we're doing the Wednesday series, with the Addams Family. It's the Wednesday series, so that should be fun. That should be enjoyable. And what the heck? So come on down to City Hall and do that. Tomorrow is High Pow. Happiness is paying our way. I hear it's sold out, and it gives a great benefit to the Catholic Schools of Fairbanks. and it raises, I'd say, about one-third of the required revenue every year to operate the school systems, and providing good education and education and sports academia to anyone who wants to go there. So it's not just for Catholics. It's for anyone who wants a good education. I graduated from there, and I must say it really made me focus on how to study and studying hard. And I was never the smartest person in the room, never will be the smartest person in the room, but it gave me the background on how to study hard, how to work hard, and have that background. So anyway, oh boy, now we got to talk about pizza. And I'm a believer that pineapple is available to be put on pizza. You know, if you go out to pizza places now, if you can put a pickle on a pizza, you know, the dilly dilly over there at the Hungry Robot, you can have pineapple on pizza. Simple as that. If you can put a pickle on a pizza, you can have pineapple on pizza. And I don't want to hear that you should not put pineapple on pizza ever again, because everything you can put on pizza, over the last, say, 10 years, the pizza industry on those gourmet pizzas and how they do it, House of Fire, East Ramp, all of them. And my favorite is still Bobby's or the one there on College Road. And there's such great pizza places here in Fairbanks, my goodness. I just got the text from Melissa. Can't put pineapple on pizza. She'll whip my backside over this. Bring it. Bring it, Melissa. Let's see what you got. I will fight over the pineapple on pizza. Giraldo's makes a great pizza, and they will put pineapple on my pizza. You know, I guess I'm not in a position anymore to, in the city limits of Fairbanks, outlaw pineapple on pizza. But if I was continuing as mayor, I'd make a law saying you can have pineapple on pizza, Melissa. So what the heck? Anyway, just one of those fun things. Anyway, you know, it's going to be a good weekend out there. Hopefully the weather clears up. They're having that event tonight at the Starter Block. They're having the opening of the ice rink. It's not going to be open tonight, but they're having that, and they're going to have a DJ down there and some dancing and a few speeches and everything like that. And just a celebration of the Polaris building is down, starting a new chapter downtown, and things are happening. So, hey, it's from 5 to 7 o'clock. Then there's places you can go like the El Dorado. Enjoy that. They have great food there. We're going to take a quick phone call. You're on KFAR, and your name is? Hello? You're on KFAR, and your name is? Well, we're not getting this one. You're on KFAR, and your name is? Well, so much for that. Oh, well, sorry. Here we go again. Good afternoon, you're on KFAR Radio, and your name is? Good afternoon, you're on KFAR Radio. Hello? The things that happen. Well, Fairbanks, that is our show for today. I probably had people calling up about my pizza, but that is life. So, hey, you have a great weekend. Enjoy it. It's a little bit wet and cold out there right now, but we'll get through it. And I will see you on Monday, and you have a great weekend.